My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So there was a statement made yesterday. There was a proposal yesterday. A lot of hardcore politics coming up here in just a moment because we have Ed Gallick joining us at 7:20. I want to get the Mike and Shaker first. Mike, you're next up on the fan. Yellow.
I love you. Yes.
Mike, I love you too.
Thank you. It's very
and
nice.
I mean that sincerely. You go right on ahead.
We don't get that enough.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Nothing.
Hey, so I wanted to point out something, man, with Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Deshaun Watson, he should have all the confidence in the world going into 2024, right? Now, let me know if I'm wrong. Going forward, Deshaun Watson, right now, this roster, this is the best roster he's ever played on. Even from 2018 with, you know, your boy.
I'd have to say. Hopkins. I mean, I have to go back. I mean, I know he played with DeAndre Hopkins, and Hopkins is an outstanding running back in his prime. I would probably say yes.
He had Carter. He had DeAndre Foreman, who's on our team right now. He had Will Fuller. He had DeAndre Hopkins. And on defense, he had Tyrann Mathieu and Larry Miller. You know, I mean, Larry Miller was a running back. My bad.
Yeah.
But on defense, Omar. Even just he had J.J. Watt. He had J.J. Watt on defense. I mean, our defense is stacked. Not only is our defense is stacked, he has good wide receivers. We got Cooper, man. Like, Cooper probably
is the I would say he's playing. I mean, I could go back in the history, too. I think you're right, Mike. I think he's playing on a better team. So you're saying what, his confidence should be through the roof?
Yes, and I think he's going to play absolutely well this year because of that. And he got a great coach. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to pay attention to the preseason and none of that. I'm not paying attention to none of the, you know, I love the updates that we're getting from, you know, Greenbrier or whatnot. But
you don't get a little excited when you see, when you check your phone maybe during a lunch break or something, you see he threw a big bomb pass to Cedric Tillman. A little bit excited.
I mean, why would I get excited for something that I already know he could do?
So you don't get excited at all. It doesn't reaffirm your thoughts that he's going to have a really good season. I'm asking. I'm not even being skeptical.
Me personally, I already knew Deshaun Watson was going to snap back. You can't drop that type of talent. All he had to do was get right in his head. And I believe the team that we have, the support team and the support system that he has, dude, he's not paying attention to the outside world. I'm telling you, dude going to have a very good season this year. I don't know if we're going to the Super Bowl, but I'm telling you, we definitely going to go into a top AFC team this year, bro.
Oh, gosh, you got me. I'm going to say something that some people are not going to like, Mike, and thank you very much for the call. You're going to draw the truth out of me. If they got to the divisional round of the playoffs and they lost, I can't say I'd be thrilled the Monday morning or whatever like that. That's not what I'm saying. It would calm down a lot of things going, all right, let's keep this band together and let's get going. because you're not going to be able to, unless some crazy divine intervention happens, you're not going to be able to play four other quarterbacks and go to the playoffs again. So that means you're going to the playoffs, you're getting to the divisional round of the playoffs, mostly, even though I don't think he's the biggest factor to week one, winning against the Dallas Cowboys, which I specified yesterday, and I'll do it again in the future. You're not going to the playoffs without him playing well. It's just not going to happen. So if you have him play well, you get to the divisional round, and say you run up against Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, you get outgunned 35-32. All right, that happens against Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Say Josh Allen. I don't think Buffalo has the roster. I don't think they have the roster you do. But say Josh Allen, you get outgunned 27-24, Dems the breaks. You end up losing a couple of these other guys. Say you run into C.J. Stroud again, and all of a sudden he beats the brakes off you. I think we have a different conversation. But I can't expect Super Bowl just like Mike. I hope I can. The expectation's different. But I'm looking at it going, hey, I got to see the entire scope of this. If I get to the division round of the playoffs, as of right now with no games being played, I could say this is a guy that is going to keep this team's head above water as we start to go through roster transition. This is a guy who makes us hold on to different players in different positions. This is a guy who I can restructure his contract going into next year, free up some extra cap space, bring back some of these players, and we can go take another earnest run at this thing. It would do a lot to calm our fears. I know that that upsets a lot of people hearing that because they want to say Super Bowl or bust, and that's what you paid the $230 million for. But we have to keep the proper perspective here. It's about competition as long as we can be competitive for. And I do want to cash in at some point, yes. But if you're asking me where the bare minimum is, bare minimum, and it's still a pretty high bar, divisional round of the playoffs. And if you get a bye and you happen to lose, fine. I don't know what Kansas City's going to do, but I see the way this could play. And yes, Super Bowl is a goal. And I think that a lot of fans are legitimate and hoping that they can get to a Super Bowl. And they're not stupid for thinking that. They're not stupid for thinking that. But for a fan, as such as myself, I go, hey, if they got to the divisional round of the playoffs, I can't see myself being mad at them.
Right, by the way, are you getting the feeling that I am that the opener is going to be a shootout?
No, not yet.
I am getting the feeling it's going to be a shootout. I know there's so many talented corners in that game. I know they've got Micah Parsons. You've got Myles Garrett. I just have this weird feeling that Dak and Deshaun are going to go up and down.
I think that the defense is going to be more important than Deshaun Watson will be to win that game. Like it's not, like I said, with Mike McCarthy, I think he's going to try to show off. I think Dak's going to have something to prove. I think he starts the season off with a chip on his shoulder. I think there's a lot of pressure on both those men right now. I think that your defense, considering what happened against the Houston Texans, I think it's in the back of people's minds. Have you been exposed in some level? Were C.J. Stroud able to get to you? Can you rectify that week one against the Dallas Cowboys? I think Deshaun is always going to have to be good because it's a league of good quarterbacks and you're going up against some good quarterbacks. But I don't think that he has to play to a level that it's going to take them to a different stratosphere where he just has to put a game on his shoulders. Week one, I don't think he's going to have to do that. At some point, he will have to do it. Against Mahomes, against maybe Allen, against maybe Burrow, and I know Burrow has struggled against us, against Stroud, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know if that's going to happen week one. I think it's more incumbent on Jim Schwartz and his defense. 216-474-0092. Ed Orcutt, the Brook Park mayor, had this to say on Tuesday about the Browns' game experience and how it would be enhanced if they played in Brook Park.
The experience would be enhanced. I think just the opportunity to be able to tailgate and walk right to the stadium instead of walking and taking an hour to maybe get to your seat.
That's the mayor of Brook Park on Fox 8. Now, we're going to have Ed Gallick coming on at 7:20 this morning to talk about this. The city of Cleveland made a proposal, just over $400 million. They'd like an answer for it, for the stadium and basically redoing the stadium, and their contribution would be just about $400.5 million altogether. They want to answer by August 12th. Tone, I've questioned this entire time whether or not the city really wants the Browns to play downtown or they'd rather use that land for something different. Does this change your opinion? Because I don't think it changes my opinion. You've agreed with me this whole time. I still don't change my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns are going to be in Brook Park. The question is, are just going to make sure to call them the Cleveland Browns still, not the Brook Park Browns.
No, they're going to be called. If they're having a bad season, people will start calling them the Brook Park Browns. Yeah,
it's happening. The Muni lot is done. 2029, they are going to Brook Park, and you're going to have whatever version of Crocker Park, you're going to have that in Brook Park. And furthermore, you're going to be able to get on the Rapid. You're going to be able downtown or wherever you do, you get on that, you go right to the game, stay inside, wear a t-shirt in December or January, and you're going to absolutely love it. I mean, I think this has been a done deal for a long time. I think this is the attempt to save face to, you know, anyone concerned about their legacy down the road. Nobody wants to be known as the mayor that, like, lost the Browns. And I know this isn't the same losing the Browns. They're just
It's not Mike White.
Right, but they're going right down the road. But I think that in a lot of ways, you know, overtures towards, hey, we did our part. We found all this money to be able to do this to save the Browns in downtown Cleveland. In the end, I mean, wouldn't you say Mayor Bibb, who's been on this show, who will come on the show again, I'm sure, wouldn't you say that he has been pretty visible as a mayor?
Yeah.
Okay, he's been at everything.
Yes.
He's been at every event. He's been everywhere.
Oh, he goes to the events.
What has he been the quietest about?
The Browns.
This.
Well, even in the state.
If he wanted the Browns, we would have seen a very, very different Mayor Bibb
even
over
in
the
a
last
statement,
year.
Even in a state. And he hasn't said much personally right. In terms of being out there in front of a microphone. But you read the statement. Quote, we are implementing a bold vision for lakefront development, and the Browns have been an essential fixture on our lakefront for decades. But our first priority is always our residents. Having the Browns play here is integral to our city's identity and community spirit. The initiative must go beyond the Browns and be about what's best for downtown, the neighborhoods, the suburb, and the region. It says two things right there. Yeah, the Browns have been big. The Browns have been real big for a very long time here. But we have to do what's best for quote-unquote residents. We have to do what's best for the neighborhood. We have to do what's best for the downtown and everything like that. Like, that's what I get out of that. And I agree with you. This is politics 101 in a lot of ways. I don't think the city's interested in keeping them downtown. And I think that this is a proposal going, hey, we've heard the stories. They've bought the land. They can finance it. I don't know what Brook Park would have to kick in as far as whatever tax incentives. That's definitely down the line. And we can ask Ed Gallick about that coming up. We can ask, obviously, Daryl about that coming up at 8. But it's like $461 million. That's a nice amount of money. And I think a lot of residents in Cleveland go, or we just let them go and do what they want to do, and we'll still call them the Cleveland Browns, and they play right down the street. We can use that $461 for something else.
And every hotel is still going to be full in downtown Cleveland. You got more on the way coming, by the way. There's some rumors about some big-time names coming to Cleveland in terms of, you know, hotels. But, you know, could you
Super 8's coming back.
Could you get the Super Bowl? Could you get the biggest events? Could Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony become something that's here annually, no longer in New York? I mean, these are all the things that are going to be discussed that you're going to have the ability to throw your hat in the ring on that you haven't been in the past.
But this is another thing. When you throw out the 461 and the Browns go, okay, thank you very much. We're still going to go to Brook Park. What are you going to use the 461 for? It's maybe a different conversation for a different platform. But if you have the 461, what are you going to use that for instead? Speaking of coming in hot, ladies and gentlemen, a man who has been coming in hot to a lot of people's doorways with his foot and his microphone, ladies and gentlemen, the great Ed Gallick, Fox 8 I-Team. He joins us right now on the show. Ed, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I don't know about great, but happy to be on with you.
Oh, come on now, Ed. Ed Gallick joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
A former colleague. Ed, it's great to talk to you again.
That's right. Always good to talk to you, too, from going way back in the old days.
So you've been following the stadium stuff very closely here. The city, they made a proposal yesterday, and they want an answer by August 12th. Now, it's my opinion. You're a reporter. I don't need to ask you opinion on this stuff because you're a reporter and you're a true newsman, but I just fly by the seat of my pants on a lot of this stuff. It's been my opinion that the city has not been very serious about keeping the Browns downtown. But there is a breakdown of the proposal financial details. Now, I've asked before, well, if you don't keep the Browns, where does the 461 go to? Do they get the 461 based on hotel taxing? Lima, you would know this as well, but Ed, where do they get the 461 from to finance this?
Well, that's one of the key questions here that we looked at, Peggy and I, yesterday when we first took a look at this. The big chunk of the money actually would come from admission tax money from Browns tickets only. We clarified this twice. We're not talking about admission tax money from Playhouse Square or the Cavs or the Guardians. So the city computed what they think ticket prices will be many years from now, because this is a 30-year lease, and the city is not going to write a check next week and say to the Browns, here's your money, make your renovations. They're saying, we'll give you this money over 30 years, and a big chunk of it is based on projections of what they think ticket prices will be, and therefore what admission taxes on those prices would bring in. So it's kind of speculative, and we asked the chief of staff for the mayor yesterday about this, and he said, well, those are our best guesses, and we think we are pretty close. But again, it's speculation. It's their projection.
Ed, obviously the thought has been, and from things that I've heard, that stadium on the lake, Daryl Ryder came on yesterday on our station as well. He's been all over this, our Browns beat reporter, talking about the viability of that stadium long-term either way, that it's just subjected to the elements in a way that most stadiums in the NFL and most arenas are not around the country. So therefore, this comes off, Ed, as almost hollow to me, because they're going to have so much upkeep on that stadium anyway that it almost seems that this was never really, as much as they want to call it a bold way to look at it, they were never really going to try to save that stadium, were they, Ed?
Well, it's really, I think, from which side of the fence you're looking at it. Now, the city is going to tell you, we just put together this package with all this money over all these years. This is our best offer. We think it's great because it's going to be able to have the Browns renovate the place. But at the same time, as you said, it's already getting kind of old. And when you consider you would do all these renovations and then it would be 30 years older before you would, in theory, do something else, you start to add all of those things in there. But we're looking at something that maybe 2 weeks ago seemed like a someday kind of a thing. We would see what would happen. Now, all of a sudden, it's happening quickly because, again, as Ken mentioned, there's that, well, we want an answer by August 12th. Very likely the Browns will give an answer by August 12th, and then we'll start to get into, okay, what are they going to build exactly in Brook Park, and how will it get paid for?
Ed Gallick joining us, Fox 8 Eye team in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Is there been any conversation from your sources about, okay, the Browns, say they do want to stay downtown, right? And, okay, we can pledge $461 over 30 years based on the emission tax. That sounds good. Would there be any conversation at all about building a new stadium downtown, using the $461 over the 30 years for that, and then using the other land that their current stadium is for mixed use as well? Has there been any conversation there?
No conversation about that since many, 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 many months ago when people first started talking about this. They said, well, what about this? What about that? Could they also do the other? But really, it's narrowed down to this project of renovating on the lakefront or building a dome in Brook Park. That's kind of where we are right now.
But when I hear, I'm sorry, Lyman, but when I hear about the, and it's hard for me to not ask you an opinion question because I'm giving an opinion here. It's hard for me to understand all that where, okay, let's redo the current stadium, where everything I've heard about it since I was a kid was, hey, this was built in a haste because they wanted to get the NFL back, the NFL game 3 years. There's a lot of things that needed to be improved structurally. So if we just redo the stadium, they're saying over 30 years, it's hard for me not to believe that we're not going to run into the same problem.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In about a decade or even less than that, Ed, with the 461, and I'm thinking, that's why it doesn't seem to be a real offer to me.
Well, consider the annual maintenance already. We just did a story the other day that right now the team and the mayor's administration are going before city council to say we have another $4 million almost in repairs that need to be paid for. And that's just one little microcosm. That's not even a year's worth of repairs. Those are quote-unquote emergency repairs, as they put it, that had to be done before this season because of fan safety on walkways and things like that. That's just one little nugget, and that's right now. So consider that when you look at the big picture for maintenance.
Ed Gallick with us on the hotline. What is the county's view on all of this? Because obviously the team is staying in the county, but the funding for either a renovation or the new dome is going to be an intense discussion no matter what. It's going to be a lot of money that people are going to pay, whether it's admission tax, hotel tax, parking tax. So the county, what are we hearing from the county, and why have we not gotten any public hearings, any town halls, any Q&As? Why have we gotten nothing when it comes to that?
You know, that's a great point, because we're getting very little from the county executive's office. We spoke to him months and months ago and said, what's your view on this? He said, well, I definitely want it on the lakefront. We think it belongs downtown. And as far as any kind of funding, well, we'd have to see a proposal. We have to get specifics, that kind of an answer. And then just this week, we got a statement that said simply, we still think the Browns should stay downtown. But to your question, what would it mean if they go to Brook Park, and would it mean all kinds of other county money, and what would it mean for the syntax, all of that? Those questions are still to be answered.
All right, so you talked to Ed Orcutt, who is the mayor of Brook Park. What would Brook Park have to kick into a possible project over in their city with a brand new stadium, a brand new roof stadium possibly?
Well, two things about that. It was significant that Ed Orcutt, the mayor of Brook Park, sat down with Peggy and myself the other day, because traditionally, as this process has gone on, he said, well, we're just kind of looking, we're making sure that might be good for Brook Park. We don't know yet, those kinds of things. And then he sat down with us. And he opened up and said, I think a dome would be good for us. I think a dome would be good for the region. I'm not trying to steal the Browns. I'm trying to do what I think would be good for the region and good for Brook Park. At the same time, he said, I'm still trying to crunch the numbers. What would it cost me in Brook Park for maintenance every year? What would it cost for security on game days and all of those things? And can Brook Park afford it? And what would the state kick in? And those kinds of numbers are still being finalized, according to him, in discussions with the Browns. In fact, he said he has still not seen, this is what he said 2 days ago, still not seen a final rendition of what the dome would look like, but they're in the process of scheduling those meetings. So it was significant that he spoke, because he spoke in that kind of detail really for the first time and publicly. Now, at the same time, we all know that Brook Park is not Cleveland as far as financial power goes. Yeah. So, you know, Brook Park's not going to be able to afford this on their own, but that whole package is still coming together. In fact, yesterday, the governor's office told us that it was still having, as it put it, productive discussions. Productive discussions is the way the governor's office put it in deciding what kind of tax money from the state would come.
See, this is where, like, the project, I know we keep talking about, like, oh, 2029. It would almost make me want to put it off a little bit further here if I was the mayor of Brook Park. I don't know this man, and I mean no disrespect, but it's a suburb mayor, and usually as a suburb mayor, you're dealing with suburb issues, and usually they can handle them pretty well, and I'm sure that he can handle his city's issues pretty well, but we're talking about a major facility with an NFL football team. Like, I might need to get all my arrows in the right row here and maybe even hire some people before we go along with this project here if I was at Orcutt.
Well, one thing he did tell us, he said, you know, I was in the military as a CB, mm-hmm. involved in construction for the military, and so he feels like he has a grasp of these kinds of things, at least to some degree, of what it takes to look at a structure that you need and what's going to be involved in putting it together and what's going to be involved afterwards. So he feels like he has at least a grasp of what needs to be looked at.
Ed Gallick, Fox 8 I-Team. Watch him every night, him and Peggy. Ed, we thank you very much for the time. All the best.
All right, thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Yes, sir, you too. Ed Gallick, Fox 8 on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML.
Fix my life.
Denny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
So Ken has been involved in some traffic happenstances recently. And I'm wondering if you're starting to lose it because you seem to frequently have issues on the roadways, and I'm starting to worry about you.
I got cut off this morning. pulling into downtown, which was, I didn't make a big deal of it, but I got cut off this morning. But a couple days ago, I was driving home. I was on 480, and we're at the Twinsburg Hudson exit, right? And I'm right behind this car, and there's a car to my left. I just want to know if I'm in the wrong, real quick, right? Just want to ask you guys. There's a car getting on the highway. And as it's getting on the highway, I'm right behind this car in front of me. And again, I'm boxed in. The car that's getting on the highway, it is not going to wait. And I'm like, I'm not going to slam on the brakes. So I kept going. And finally, they hit the brake right next to me, pull on, and I hear the horn, and I'm getting the finger in the back and all the thing like this. And I was driving, and I swear to God, I didn't make a big deal of it. I just go, well, I'm sorry, but you are in the wrong, not me. And as I'm driving, I'm going, this person's right behind me. If we end up, this is the last exit to Streetsboro, if you don't count Frost Road, right? I go, we could be up at the stop, like, this person could come up to my window. I go, what do I say to this person? Do I say, hold on, let's all calm down here for a second, but I have to tell you, I'm not in the wrong. You are in the wrong. Don't you have to yield when you're getting onto a highway? Was I supposed to be honked at? Was I supposed to be given the bird over the situation, Tone?
I think the problem is that on Twitter now, they do the For You page.
Okay.
And whatever I've clicked on over the years, whatever the algorithm has sent me, I am seeing nothing but road rage incidents.
And that's what I try to avoid at all times.
And those road rage incidents are very quick. They are, hey, guy comes up to the window, yes, and somebody has a gun, and then that's that. And so I am done. I think at this stage of my life, I am done with any of this stuff on the roadways.
No birds. I very rarely honk. You used to honk at everybody. Yeah. I don't hear you honk that much anymore.
Yes.
Of course, you're usually trying to keep the kids quiet in the back seat. But
I loved honking my horn.
But again, let me show you, Owen. Like, if I had a whiteboard in front of me, I can't because it's too far away from the mic over at our whiteboard. Car in front of me, right? Yep. My truck.
Yep.
Now look at me. Exit ramp coming here. Yep. Now there's a car in front of me, and then a car boxing me in. I can't get over.
Oh, no, I've been in this situation several times.
Yeah. I can't get over. And my thought is always, you're coming on the on-ramp. You're driving on the on-ramp. It's your job to yield. I can't just stop and slow down on the highway and let you in and stomp on the brakes and possibly affect traffic behind me.
I've been in this situation several times, and I've driven several different types of vehicles. I've got a midsize now.
Yeah.
I've had a Suburban in the past, F-150, big vehicles. I had the little Hyundai Sonata, and when I was in the Sonata, I would hit those brakes and let them come on in. But I know what you're driving.
Yeah.
It's a nice big Ram.
Thank you. Beautiful
and,
Ram.
And I don't think you have to hit your brakes here and let them on. I think this is, especially depending on the other vehicle. Sometimes they're just coming over and you've got to make a decision. You got to make a business decision. But yeah, I don't think you're in the wrong here.
Okay. I'm getting the bird and everything, and I'm going, what if this person...
At the same time, I don't think you can get so upset about getting honked at in the bird. It's 2024.
I wasn't upset.
Yeah,
I wasn't upset. I'm just looking for blame
it to the radio
because I wouldn't have done. Well, yeah, obviously
because this person out. You gave their license.
I did not give their license plate out.
What was it again?
It was honestly. If you want to know, it was like an 04 bleep box. Is what it was. I mean, it was a beat up ass old car.
No, you need to slow down.
Why?
Because they got nothing to lose.
Right.
You got a nice vehicle.
That's a good point. That's the issue with a lot of these.
You didn't tell me it was a bleep box.
Yeah, it was a bleep
box.
You
better hit them brakes, buddy, because I've seen your truck. It's pretty nice. It's not as nice as the other one you had.
And I mean, it's nothing for like some people. If they don't exactly have a jam-packed schedule, it is nothing for somebody to follow you until you get to your house.
If it's me and we're out of here by 11 today, we're all day.
You're going to lose a tail.
And we're in your city.
But I didn't give him like the finger back. I just looked up in a rearview mirror and I'm like, that's not very nice. And I'm going, I'm not in the wrong. I don't think I'm in the wrong here. And I thought about it. I go, I'm definitely not in the wrong here. Now, I wasn't ready. Again, I was not ready to just throw it in park at the stoplight up by the Chipotle in Streetsboro. That wasn't what I was interested in doing. I was thinking in my head, I go, what if this person gets out of the car and like approaches the window? I want to de-escalate the situation as best I can. And then I go, do I just assume blame? No, I can't assume blame. I argue every day with Tone every day. So I'd have to say, I'm sorry, but it was your job to yield getting on the on-ramp here. Nick in Maslin, Ohio, you're next up in the Fan. Hello.
What's up, gentlemen?
Hi, Nick. You're like 60-something years old. You're a lot younger than you, or a lot older than you sound, right?
Yes, sir, I am.
I knew it. I knew you're a truck driver. Go ahead, Nick.
It's very simple. That's why there is a merge or yield sign on every on-ramp. It is their job to fit in with traffic. They need to speed up or slow down. It is not your job to let them on because then you're fluctuating traffic in a 70-mile-an-hour zone. It's just that simple. I have countless times in my truck drive along and people trying to get on the on-ramp, and it's like, what do you want me to do? You need to speed up or slow down because it's not my job to let you on. And countless times I have had people run out of on-ramp, and then they come flying by me, flipping me off. It's like, I'm sorry, you're just stupid. Did you not see the merge or yield sign? It's your job.
I think a guy like you gets the bird a lot just because you drive a large vehicle because you have to work on it. You know what I mean?
You have to be aware of all the stupid people out there, Ken. There's so many of them that don't pay attention.
Nick, are you... This is one of the great online debates I've been seeing in recent days. So you can imagine I need an expert to weigh in. Are you on board with the zipper merge or are you more the early merge?
The zipper merge?
Yeah, what's a zipper merge?
I've watched YouTube videos on how, as it turns out, if a lane is going to be obstructed down the way and you know about it, there's a big debate early.
We're going from three lanes to two lanes.
And people say the zipper merge, which is the later merge, is actually more economical. That is the way to go about it.
What is the zipper merge?
I'm sorry, those people are on crack. It's very simple. If I see and I'm driving,
reckless speculation.
I do not support people driving on crack.
If I'm driving along and I see a sign saying left lane ends, okay, and if I'm in the left lane, as soon as I see that sign, I am going to move over to the right. Okay. Or if I've got a ton of people behind me and I turn my signal on, if somebody's letting me to move to the right, I'm going to go halfway because you know what I'm doing? I'm blocking all those people that have just seen that sign that are going to run up there and clog everything up. Then everything comes to a stop. If you start flowing and mending and flowing together well before that, everybody continues through. I block people all the time because it's like you saw the sign and you're going to run up here and now you're going to everybody has to stop to let you in. It's like, no, that's why they're giving you the sign a quarter mile, a mile ahead to merge so everything flows. Don't be stupid, because I'm going to block you and not let you in the lane.
I like that. Nick, thank you very much for the call.
I will
friend.
Say this from the Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Tell me.
Zipper merge versus the early merge, and they prefer the zipper. Reduces differences in speeds between the two lanes.
I'm trying to look at it on YouTube. I don't even understand.
Benefits
it.
Individual no. drivers as well as the public at large. Research shows these dangers decrease when motorists use both lanes until reaching the defined merge area.
I will tell you, Anthony, I recently, as recent as 2 weeks ago, spent 3.5 hours driving through Minnesota one way and then 3.5 hours the other way. One of the worst driving states I've ever been in.
So they've lost all credibility.
Nothing's going to be worse, in my experience, in Youngstown, Ohio.
They got a bunch of left lane drivers there.
224 is the worst. I mean, it is a fight, a fist fight, just to get down 224. Czar in Fairview Park, hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Czar. Hi.
All right. Two of my biggest pet peeves while I'm driving are the idiots that try to cut in from the highway. There's a damn sign right in front of their face that says merge.
Mm-hmm.
Their job is to yield to you guys on the highway.
So I'm right.
My other big one is when you're driving down the street and see somebody in the oncoming lane has an obstruction, whether it be cones or a parked car, and instead of waiting for you to pass, they just zip around that car or obstruction and almost cut you off, forcing you into the tree lawn.
Yeah, they'll do
it. That kills me.
They'll do it. Czar, thank you so much for the call. And I'm right in this, right?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Czar. See, I'm like, I
in
like
theory,
to be right.
You are right. They're driving with nothing to lose.
Can I say one little thing, though? What I do, a little guilty pleasure that I know is not something I should do. When I get on 71, when I get on the turnpike from like 71, there's usually like a slow car or a truck in front of me, but there's, depending on the time, there's like nobody for long times coming east from like right at the 71 exit at 80. I like to do the fan out and already get into the third lane. Like, get on it hard and fan out like they do in Days of Thunder.
That's when you're coming
Daytona.
Off a pit row. Yeah.
You gotta, you get out in the back stretch on the super speedways, you fan out, you do that whole thing. I love it. I feel the same. I remember that one part from Days of Thunder.
Get back into your groove.
Yeah. And then I'm out there, and then I get into the middle lane. As I've gotten older, it's like, hey, middle lane, you can move left or right. We don't need to just stay in the passing lane here and do all this all the time. Getting softer as I get older. And I definitely, a 26-year-old Ken, there's fingers back to that guy. 38-year-old Ken, I'm just trying to get home myself, sir. Please, thank you very much.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.